item we need to deal with, and that is downstairs in the lobby. Do not take these, but we are putting out a new directory, and if you want to be included, put your name, your telephone number, cell number, whatever, make yourself available so that people can be in touch with you. Could we just take a moment and go before the Lord? Gracious Lord, you love us. The song we've just sang together, it talks about your love is forever and ever. Lord, today we pray that your will be accomplished, that our hearts will be changed, our attitude changed, our direction in life changed, and Father, we continue to move forward. The Christian life is one of those things that, Lord, you call us to continue to change. Sometimes we feel that's a challenge. Many times we feel it's an intrusion. But Father, I pray that your Spirit will just work amongst us here today. Father, as we reset the scene, as we look in the book of Acts, we pray that our hearts will be united with you. And Father, we will know that you are moving us forward away from tradition, away from pride, away from prejudice, and Father, toward you. Deepen our relationship with you. As we prayed many, many times before, each one of us has carried with us this morning into this place burdens that rest upon our heart. And Father, I pray that at this given moment, right now, we would just simply lay these things down before you and let you carry them. I pray, Father, that we will trust you. Father, I pray that you would move. If there's sin in our life, I pray that you would move that sin away from us. Your Spirit would convict us. If we do not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that your Spirit today would be tugging and moving and bringing that individual closer to Jesus Christ. Maybe today there will be salvation. Lord, for the hurts and wounds that we carry, we ask you physically to come and make us whole. Bless us, Father. I pray that we will be a blessing to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. But actually, I'm going to do a little sermonette this morning. And I really want to go back to the book of Proverbs. As we talk, this is the day we celebrate here in the United States, Mother's Day. So moms, happy Mother's Day. And Proverbs 31 is it has a lot to say to single men, to single women, to married men, to married women. The chapter begins with a mother's guidance from the son of her womb, and she's giving her heart advice to her son. And if you read the chapter, chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs, it talks about how this chapter ends with a picture of this strong woman's character, her wisdom, her skills, her reverence, and her compassion. So I want to read just a few passages here of Proverbs 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She opens her arms to the poor, and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The woman in Proverbs chapter 31 is an excellent wife and mother. Her strength and dignity do not come from her amazing achievements. They are many. All of who she is the result of her reverence for God. So women, young and old, when you read this proverb, don't put this woman so high up on a pedestal that you feel you're never going to measure up, because I want to repeat this. All of who she is a result of her reverence for God. That is your key to being a godly woman. Today, as we know, our culture looks at beauty. We look at the outward appearance, and that's what we measure as the symbol of perfect womanhood. We're mesmerized by physical beauty. And I want to challenge you to read this chapter. Read it today. And I think you're going to find something in this chapter, Proverbs 31, the woman's beauty, her appearance is never mentioned. She's described totally by her character, her abilities, and her reverence for God. Men, don't look at this woman as the perfect woman. And women, don't attempt to imitate her in every detail. Women, this is a beautifully preserved illustration. It's an inspiration for you to become all that you can become. And men, learn from this portrait of womanhood. Look for, seek out a woman who has deep, godly character. A woman's true attractiveness comes entirely from her godly character. Finally, before we get into the book of Acts, the key for all of us, single men, single women, married women, married men, look at verse 30. Let me read verse 30 and 31. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward that she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 10. We're going to reset the scene here. Last week, we saw how God had literally opened the eyes of our spiritual brother, Saul. God had blinded him in order that Saul would truly see from his heart that and understand that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Now, because of frequent outbreaks of violence, Roman soldiers were stationed throughout Israel to keep the peace. Most Roman soldiers were looked upon as conquerors, as the enemy. And neither the soldiers nor the Jews got along with each other. Look at this. Cornelius, he knew the Creator. He prayed to God. He gave to the poor. If you look at verses 1 and 2. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout, God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, prayed to God regularly. You see that he was respected, but he did not have the assurance of salvation. Cornelius needed to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Look at verses 3 and 6, 3 through 6. The angel told Cornelius, say that five times fast and see what happens to you, to send Peter. And the angel told Peter that he was staying with Simon the Tanner. Now, that had to be good news to this Roman soldier, because he knew from his time in Israel that Jews didn't socialize or live with one another, live with a Gentile. What Peter did know is this, that God is working behind the scenes. Peter didn't understand this. God was working behind the scenes. God had a wonderful ministry for Peter to move to the Gentiles. Peter would have never, ever chosen this ministry on his own because he had his own tradition, his own pride, and his own prejudice toward the Gentiles. Just like you and I, we have our pride, our prejudice, we have our traditions, our family, even our family traditions many times get in the way of us doing what is right before God. So before Cornelius's servants came together, Peter, God had to deal specifically with Peter's prejudices. He had to break him. He had to break him down in order for him to be ready to take the next steps of ministry. God could have brought, I spoke about this last week, God could have brought Cornelius to salvation on his own. But God was involving Peter for Peter's sake. He was sending Peter to Cornelius to tear down away Peter's pride, his prejudice against those who were different from him. So visions and special appearances. Cornelius had a vision. A heavenly messenger, an angel, appeared to him. Now, what I want to tell you is that God had spoken to others in the Bible in many different ways. In Exodus chapter 3, you see Moses in the burning bush, God speaking to Moses. In Numbers chapter 22, you have the talking donkey of Balaam. 1 Kings chapter 19, you have Elijah hearing God's gentle voice, not in the whirlwind, not in all of the noise of the world. He heard God's gentle voice. It's true. It's true. God speaks to his people in many, many different ways. Through the reading of his word, God can speak to you through the reading of your his holy word. Through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When you feel this nudging to move, to do something, to give something, to go somewhere, to speak to someone, you need to follow through with that because that is more than likely the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You need to pray about that and make sure. You don't want to move on your own. How does God speak to people? Through the advice of godly people. And it's up to us to listen, to be alert, to be alert. And I want to ask you to do this. Would you ask God today? Would you ask God today, what are you trying to say to me today? God, what do you want me to do today? So our first point this morning is Peter's vision. And this really is an introduction to grace. About noon in verse 9, you'll see that Peter is praying. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, now this is the three men that Cornelius had sent to find Peter. Two of his servants, and one was a devout soldier. He went up on the roof to pray. Peter is on a flat roof. If you've been to Israel, you've seen the flat roofs. Many are surrounded with a 3 to a 6 foot wall. It's a place for meditation. It's a place for prayer. It's a place for relaxation. Peter was alone. In verse 10, it says here that he became hungry. He wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He prayed so long, he became hungry. And while the meal was being prepared, God began to speak to him. In verse 11, we see that this four-cornered sheet, a tarp, let's call it a tarp, this large tarp, it's literally a picture of Peter's calling. In this sheet were all kinds of unclean animals. You can see here. It contained all, verse 12, all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth, birds of the air. And a voice said, "Rise, Peter, and eat." So in this sheet were four-footed animals, wild beast, the pig, creeping things, fowls of the air. And verse 12 and 13, Peter looks at this tarp, and it's full of every creature that he's ever seen or ever knew about, and he hears this voice, "Peter, get up, kill, and eat." In verse 14, Peter says, no, "I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws, our Jewish tradition have declared impure. If you go back to Leviticus 11, you will find and you understand the strictness of the law. But you also have to understand, too, that the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, they had passed over 600 laws to add to what God had added here. So there's a lot of tradition mixed in with what is going on in Peter's life, and a lot of pride here. He didn't want to move toward people that were different than him, different color, different way of living, different culture, different education. So these laws made it different for Jews to eat with Gentiles without risking defilement. Verse 15, you see here that the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Now, this happened three times. Before this vision, Peter would never, ever have reached out and approached a Roman soldier. But I want us to go back to where we were last week. And I want us to take a look at this. We are just like Peter, steeped in our tradition, in our personal prejudices. Peter was convinced that his views about Gentiles were correct. And there's a caution here for each and every one of us. You see, doubting God is rebellion, because rebellion began in the garden. Rebellion is sin. When God speaks, we should never challenge him and we should never debate him. And I am convinced, I am absolutely convinced that we miss out on ministry opportunities, we miss out on ministry blessings because of our pride and our prejudice. And I'm convinced that we are so busy with stuff that doesn't matter that we miss hearing God's voice. You see, the right response, and this is something Peter was learning, is a humble submission. Now look at verses 19 through 21. I want to back up. So the sheet was let down three times. In verse 17, Peter's wondering about what this means, and all of a sudden, the three men arrived at his house. So verses 19 through 21, we see that while Peter is thinking about his vision, the Holy Spirit said, "There's three men here, Peter. They're looking for you. And don't hesitate." Isn't that interesting that God allowed that to be there? "Don't hesitate to go to them, for I have sent them." Through Peter's vision, God has shown him that the Gentiles weren't inferior. So he's still trying to figure all of this out. While he's still thinking about it, he got up, he went downstairs. Verse 21, Peter said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for." The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's righteous, he's a God-fearing man." We have many God-fearing people in our country, but we have many people that do not know Jesus Christ. They do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I believe we're looking at here. He's respected by all the Jewish people, which is extremely rare in Israel. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Now, Peter did something really unprecedented here for a Jew. Do you know what he did? Look at verse 23. He invited these men into the house to be his guest. Now, Peter's already staying with Simon the Tanner. A tanner is a person who would take animal hides and make them into things that could be worn. So this was considered an unclean profession. So here's Peter staying with this Gentile, and these Gentiles approach him, and he invites them in. So he did an unprecedented thing. Cornelius was devoted. He was respected. He was sincere. You can be sincerely wrong in your tradition, in your prejudice, in your pride. But Cornelius was still spiritually lost. You see, we must be careful with those people that we like and love, family. because they're good and they're earnest and they do good things. But we need to be careful of not to equate earnestness with righteousness. Our friends and family may be just like Cornelius, sincere and good, but still spiritually lost. You see, that's why we were singing about grace today. We have salvation through Jesus Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense. If you know Jesus Christ, you need to say amen. You need to say amen. Amen. And you see, if you know those that don't, I'm praying God's going to give you the courage. He's going to screw up the courage inside of you so that you're going to be able to say, this is what you need to do. You need to know Jesus, the Jesus that I know. Our second point this morning takes place in verses 25 through 27. It's called Peter, Cornelius, Peter plus Cornelius, plus family, plus friends, and grace. Can you imagine this? Look at verse 25. As Peter entered Cornelius' house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. Can you picture this? A Roman conqueror bowing at the feet of a Jewish fisherman turned preacher. Unheard of. Now take a look at this. Cornelius had invited not only his family and his friends, they were eagerly waiting to hear the gospel. And the question I have for you this morning is, how eager are you to hear the gospel? Our joy for the proclamation of the Word of God really needs to come from our heart. I believe this, I know this through the years of ministry. Many come to church out of duty. Peter here has an entire congregation waiting, eagerly waiting to hear about Jesus. You see, so this morning I really ask you an honest question. Are you hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for him? The largest barrier that was taking place that was hindering the spread of the gospel was the Jewish-Gentile conflict. Most early Christians were Jewish. And as I'd spoken earlier, it was taught that to associate with a Gentile, that was scandalous, shouldn't be done. So Peter is taking a huge, huge risk here to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Now we've seen how God has worked in his heart to break him down and bring Peter to him in a right relationship and a right understanding of his place before Jesus Christ so that he can bring others to Jesus. So we can see how God graciously broke him down and how Peter, he still had some strongly held traditions. And I want to share them with you. You see, Peter struggled with freedom, the freedom that God had given him later in life. And I want to take you to the book of Galatians chapter 2. And this is where Paul opposes Peter. In verse 11, chapter 2 of the book of Galatians, when Peter came to Antioch, Paul said, I opposed him to his face. And this is the reason. Because he was clearly in the wrong before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. They were saying that you had to do all of the rites, you had to follow all of the rites of a Jew to become a true Christian. You had to be circumcised. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas, the son of consolation, the son of comfort, was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, can you picture this? Here's a group. Perhaps they're having dinner, and they're all eating together, and Paul stands up, and this is my imagination speaking here, and he says, "You're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" And then he goes on, and he talks about how we're justified by faith, not what we do, not our traditions. You see, God had broken down Peter's pride and his prejudice, but later in life it got the best of him. So my question is, how is God working in your life? Well, Paul confronted them. The point being here, verses 15 and 16. "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified." That's the point. A person is made right with God because of their faith in Jesus Christ alone, not following the law. God made it crystal clear. But you see, this is later on in life. You've been in positions like that, haven't you? Where you feel intimidated and you feel put upon. And the best way out of the situation is to just compromise. There should be no barrier. No barrier must be allowed, like race or language or culture or education, to keep us from telling others about salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, if we go back to Acts, you'll see that Peter began speaking in verse 34. It's Peter's salvation message. It begins. How do seekers hear? They need to hear someone present the way. And so the question I'm asking you about all of this, since salvation is through Christ alone, and people hear the gospel through others speaking, you are one of the other. Are you willing to speak of Jesus Christ? How do seekers hear? Someone must present the way. Are you willing? Is God asking you to show you the way to Jesus today, someone today? Verses 34 through 43, you have Cornelius plus family plus friends, all Gentiles hearing the gospel. Here's just a simple way for you to witness. Now, that word, I know, can be off-putting to some believers, witness. That means I have to stand and tell people what I actually believe. Here's a way in which you can do it, and you can use the scripture right here out of chapter 10. So it's a very simple pattern you could follow when you're sharing the truth of the scriptures. Verse 36, begin with the obvious. Jesus is Lord of all. He is the way. He's the way. Jesus is the perfect servant, verses 37 through 39. We go on, we have verses 39 and 40. And you see here, sorry, I was in the wrong chapter looking at that. Verses 39 and verse 40, Peter personally witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. So begin with the obvious. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is the way to salvation. Verses 37 to 39, Jesus is the perfect servant. Verses 39 and 40, Peter personally witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Verses 41 and 42, he personally experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 43, we have something extremely important. We have here that Jesus is seen as the fulfillment of the scriptures. And if you want to do some reading this afternoon, read Isaiah 52 and 53. And then read Ezekiel chapter 36, verses just two verses, verses 25 and 26. And here's the easiest thing to do when you're sharing about Jesus. Just simply share your testimony of faith. It doesn't need to be long. It just needs to be about how you came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. There are many times when you know that you're called on to speak and the Holy Spirit is leading you to speak. So what I'm going to tell you to do is just simply speak. Share the gospel. Tell of how you came to know Jesus as Savior. And then we have this beautiful picture of baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. And Jesus is telling about all the things that have happened, how the prophets had foretold about Jesus and his coming and his death and his resurrection. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues, other languages, and praising God. What took place here in this chapter, in the end of this chapter here, is in Cornelius' house, a new chapter of Christian history took place. Peter needed to go, to share, to someone who was different. Cornelius needed Peter to understand salvation through Jesus Christ. So what we're seeing here is that God is inclusive. These two men were totally different. Peter's a fisherman turned missionary pastor. Cornelius is a wealthy military disciplined man. Both needed to humble themselves before God. Verses 47 and 48, they all believed. Every one of them believed. They began speaking in known languages. Then Peter baptized them. And Cornelius took advantage of this great event. And you know what he asked him to do? He said, stay. Stay with me for a few days. You see, my family, my friends, myself, we're new believers and we need further teaching. We need more instruction. I just want to ask you a third question this morning. Are you anxious for further teaching? For Christian education, for Christian fellowship? Brothers and sisters, sometimes I wonder about us, the excuses we give for not being together, the reasons that we claim that are hindering our walk with the Lord. Here we have God breaking into men's lives and breaking through their tradition and their pride and their prejudice. So I guess a fourth question is, what is God doing with you today? Believer? There are things you just need to let go of and trust. Seeker, do you want to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Father, thank you. Thank you. Your love is incredible. It's beyond our human comprehension. Lord, in moments we are going to receive our morning offering. But right now, our hearts need to be right before you. Are there things in our lives that need attention? Do we need to make decisions for Jesus in regards to talking about him and sharing him? Do we need to make the decision to know him for the very first time? I remember when Pastor George Hattonfield gave the invitation at my church in 1958. And I raised my hand. And I simply came to understand and know that I need to recognize my sinful condition before the Lord. And then I needed to understand very simply that God had provided for me through Jesus Christ. And then I needed to respond. I was an unbeliever at the time. And I did. I raised my hand and I said I wanted to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I wanted to accept him into my heart. And then began a journey. A journey through the years of changing my own pride, my own prejudice, my own direction. Lord, have your way with us today. A special day for families where we celebrate mothers, our birth, the blessings we have from our homes. But Father, may we celebrate you. May we celebrate that we are making the changes that you are asking us to make each and every day. You ask us to do something different every day. Father, may we glorify you. May we see the beauty that you have provided for us through Jesus Christ. May we enjoy our salvation. And gracious Father, we pray that you would work in this congregation and, Father, do things that we have not even begun to think about. And Father, may they bring glory to your name. We pray for the seeker and we pray for the believer. May each of us be thinking about how we can change to bring glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time,